What's going on, guys? Bob Buskirk here at Think Computers, and we're trying something new. This is going to be our weekly tech podcast where we tell you what's going on with the site, what's going on in tech, and just kind of just sit back with you guys and talk about what's going on. I'm here with Derek. He's our resident water cooling guy. He's been with the site about 2 years. Besides water cooling, he has come to Vegas with us for CES. So what's going on, Derek?
Hey, what's up, Bob? What's going on,
So,
guys?
how's the weather up in Michigan?
Let me see. Right now, it is -6 degrees.
That sounds horrible.
So, pretty terrible. How about Pittsburgh there, Bob?
It's not that bad. It's sunny out. As I told you earlier, I almost got hit by a car walking across the street, so
Yeah, you gotta watch out for those.
yeah, so that wasn't that fun. But besides that, it's not incredibly horrible. It stopped snowing, so. It is not that bad, but let's get into what we covered this week on Think Computers. This podcast should come out every week, either Saturday or Sunday. So we're basically gonna give you guys a rundown of what's going on the site. So starting off this week, you reviewed the Corsair H110i GT liquid CPU cooler.
Yeah, I did. It was actually I was pleasantly surprised. It was one of the if actually the best cooler we reviewed, performing cooler we've reviewed so far. It was incredibly easy to install, just like all the rest of their coolers, and it just once you got it running, it did work.
Nice. So that's
Yeah.
you would say that's the best performing, and I mean if you're gonna recommend a all-in-one unit, that's the one you're gonna recommend.
Absolutely. As long as you've got space for a dual 140 millimeter cooler, this is the one to get, which might be a limitation for some people, but I think in most cases that people have today, you're gonna have room for that, at least in the top of the case.
Nice.
And I don't see any reason why not. It's not overly expensive. At $130 US dollars, that's exactly where I'd expect to see it. And the performance you're gonna get, I mean, it's the next best thing to going with a full bore water cooling kit.
Nice. So
Yeah.
moving on, Jack reviewed the Griffin 20, which I
He
got to see
did.
a little bit at CES. I didn't know that much about it. Nor typically, Griffin is more or less like a. I mean, we've reviewed with them for a while, and they typically make like iPhone accessories and things like that. So seeing a digital audio amplifier from them was kind of interesting. Jack said he really liked it. It's a good way to get Bluetooth audio to, say, your home theater, in a better, not just a little Bluetooth adapter or wireless adapter. Pretty nice, little system. I don't know if you got to take a look at the review.
I did. I checked out the review and his video, and it looked really well put together, well polished.
Yeah, it's something different from Griffin. And I actually, like I said, if I had a real home theater, which I really don't. But if I did, it would be something that I would totally get into because, if you're having friends over or you want to listen to music, I mean, everybody's just using their mobile device now.
Yeah, nobody has anything else.
Yeah, nobody really has anything else. I mean, obviously we're not listening to CDs anymore, and
No.
having that ability to do that, to stream it, and you can even stream not just from, say, your phone, but from a laptop, and if it has Bluetooth and all that. So,
Yeah, definitely.
just makes it so much easier. So that's a pretty cool review. So if you guys want to check that out, if you're into that kind of stuff. And then I went ahead and took a look at the Kingston HyperX Cloud 2 gaming headset, and I'm actually using it right now. That's what I'm using to record this podcast. And I've coming from Kingston, who we know for memory and SSDs, they had their Cloud 2 or their original Cloud last year. And the thing that really struck me about it is, one, it's an original design. Two, is that it's extremely comfortable. It's one of the most comfortable headsets I've ever used. Sounds great as well. And it comes with a pretty good accessories package. That's not something you typically see on a gaming headset. You usually just get, the headset. This has a couple different cables. It has a airline adapter, carrying case, all that stuff. It's really well built too. The entire headset or most of it is all brushed aluminum. It's really nice. You're not gonna break it. Yeah, so kudos to Kingston for that. Really like it. And again, it's a headset I would recommend to people. It's a little bit more expensive. It's at the
What is
$99
it,
range.
Bob? Okay.
Yeah, it's at the $99 range, where most gaming headsets are $69.79. But the extra money I feel is worth it, especially for the comfort. I reviewed a lot of gaming headsets, and usually the it's about for me about 1.5 to 2 hours where the top of my head, where the headset, where the
The
headband
band.
sits, will actually start to hurt, and around your ears will start to hurt. This
Right.
I don't have that at all. So the comfort level is awesome, and then they added 7.1 virtual surround sound on this, which I like, and it gives
How well did it
you
work?
it work it's not like a true virtual, it's not like a true 7.1. I don't think in any headset that says virtual 7.1 you're going to get that.
Right.
I would call it more or less like enhanced stereo, because it sounds a lot better than if
Okay.
you're using the stereo connection, or if you just turn the 7.1 off. It sounds a lot better, but you can't necessarily tell where the sounds are coming from, like
Like,
you
are you gonna
would.
hear footsteps coming up behind you like you would in your real surround?
Not specifically, but it's more, it's kind of like, I can't say it's truly like that, but it's sort of like that, if that
Okay.
makes sense.
But
I
it's
think, yeah, with any
still
ver
better.
with any yeah with any virtual surround sound, because you only have one driver in each ear, right? So you're
Right.
not, we're gonna get that totally. You're not, because there's our headsets that have the 7.1 actually in each ear.
Right.
And those are insanely expensive, and I don't think they're worth it. But with this headset, the 7.1 is good. It's not true 7.1. Just like, that's why they call it
Right.
virtual 7.1. But it's very good. Again, the headset's extremely comfortable. So again, for me, it's the best headset that I've reviewed this year so far. And it's going to be very hard to beat, especially, like I said, on the comfort level and the accessory package and all of that. Yeah. So
Yeah, it
that,
sounds like I need to make an upgrade.
yeah, it, like I said, it's really nice. And coming from Kingston, like I said, they are trying to really build that HyperX brand. They do a lot of stuff with, even at CES, they had a gaming tournament. They sponsored teams, and they're really getting into the gaming. That's coming back now.
Yeah.
Esports is massive now these days,
Totally. Yeah.
apparently. So a lot of companies are getting back into it, but I'm glad they didn't just like OEM a headset, that
Yeah.
anybody else could make. It's really well done. They actually give you two sets of ear cups too, so you get leather ones and velour ones too. I didn't mention that.
Really?
Yeah, so you get all of that. So it's like, it's worth the $100, really. I mean, to me, it's worth the $99 that it costs. So yeah, like I said, if that is, if you're looking for a new headset, gaming headset, and the thing is too, it's not just USB, it's stereo as well, so you can connect it to, say, your mobile device, tablet, laptop. And the stereo connector does work with a microphone as well, so you just need the one connector. So if you have, say, like an Ultrabook that just has a single connector, that's the multi-use connector. Same with your mobile device, you can still use the microphone as well.
That's really cool.
Yeah, so it's, like I said, it's nice, and the ma microphone is detachable, so you can take it off the headset if you're just using, if you don't want to use, say, a you don't want to use the microphone, you're just listening to music or something. And the
Yeah.
microphone, of course, is bendable and all that, so you can move it out of the way if you don't want it right in your face. So yeah, that's, like I said, a very, very good headset, and one I would totally recommend if you're looking for a new gaming headset.
Awesome.
So moving on to our last review of the week, I took a look at a pretty cool product from a new company that we haven't reviewed from. It's called, their company's called Divoom, and they basically make little Bluetooth speakers and things like that. And I took a look at the Voombox Outdoor, and it's more of a rugged Bluetooth speaker. It's weather resistant. It's pretty heavy, and it's actually
How
one of the
big is
best.
it?
It's like your typical, like the rectangle shape.
Yeah.
Bluetooth speakers, two speakers inside, so it's
Okay.
but it's heavy. Like if I threw it at you, you would not like knock you
So
out. But
it doubles as a self-defense weapon.
yeah, I mean, it really could. It's extremely heavy. That just speaks to the quality of it. I was really
Yeah.
impressed. A lot of these days, a lot of Bluetooth speakers are ones that we take with us, right? If you're going, say, camping, you're out on the
Yeah,
beach with
I take
friends.
mine everywhere.
Yeah, you're taking it with you all of the time, and a lot of times it's you are taking it outdoors. You are taking it where it could get in the elements, and this Bluetooth speaker is great because one, it's like it's wrapped all in thick rubber, so if you do break it, you're not gonna like say crack a speaker or something like that. And two, it's weather resistant. It's not weatherproof, so you can't like submerge it in water. But say like I was throwing it around in the snow the other day and nothing happened to it. And it I sprayed it with water, like a spray can with water, just to test. Everything turned out pretty well. Nothing, didn't break or anything like that. And what's really impressive is the sound is a lot better than a lot of the other dual speaker Bluetooth speakers that I've tested. There's actually five drivers inside the speaker. Like I said, it just sounds really great. This, like all Bluetooth speakers too, the ones that are that size, it does have the microphone, which sounds pretty okay. So you can take calls and everything like that. But again, it's just a good Bluetooth speaker, and one I would recommend if you're going to, say, go to the beach, because all of the ports and everything are sealed on it too. So that not only protects against water, but say dust and sand if you're at the beach. So, again, if you want a Bluetooth speaker that's going to last more than a couple times at the beach or, outside with friends or whatever it may be, this is a Bluetooth speaker that's going to last. So yeah, I mean, definitely.
Yeah, that thing looks really good, and what's it's at right at about the $90 price point,
Yeah, it's a
so
$90 price
right in
point.
line with everything else.
Yeah, it's right. It's a little bit more expensive than some, but again, you do get the weather protection, which I'd say that's a premium cost. You're paying for that, and
Yeah.
it does sound better than other Bluetooth speakers. And something I did notice, I have like four or five Bluetooth speakers here. They take about 5 or 6 seconds to connect to my iPhone. This is pretty
Right.
much instant, which is weird. It's just like as soon as you
Really?
turn it on, it instantly connects. Not that that's a selling point, but it's just, I don't know. I guess
It's
it's
still
just.
cool.
Yeah, it's just convenience. Like, yeah, I turn it on and it's instantly ready
What
to go.
kind of range does it have?
It's typical Bluetooth, so it's like 30 feet. Depending
Okay.
on, like, I live in a place where my
Environment.
walls are concrete, so, but it pretty much in my entire apartment, it will go pretty much the entire way. But it's, if you're outside, it's about 30 feet. It's like typical Bluetooth.
Yeah, right on.
So moving on from that, this week we also had our worst PC setup, which is pretty much our most popular article of each month. What we do is we find people who have just horrible PC
These
setups.
poor people.
Yeah, and we list 20 of them. A lot of them we do find on Reddit. And
Oh my God, this
sometimes,
person with the milk cartons for a seat? Are you serious?
yeah, it's some you feel so bad for some of these people, but at the same time, I've been through this. Oh, when I've been moving or in between apartments or whatever it may be, or there was a time that I moved back home to my parents' house, in between apartments, and this is when I was running thin computers and I had all this PC stuff crammed in
Oh
my
my
little
God.
room. So this article is really great. Everybody loves it. It's just an article we do each month. We do it at the end of the month, so this is the end of the month for us. So if you're looking just to see some really bad,
Dude, some of these are just ragged, man.
yeah, some really bad setups, and you'd be surprised at like people. This is like some people are like, this is the setup I've had for like 3 years, and you wonder how they do it. But
Like
that's
people
how.
are actually hurting their postures so that they can game.
Yeah, so it's a really, really, really cool article. You guys can check that out. That's on the site. And again, we do it every month, so if you want to go back and check out old ones, we go ahead and we have a ton of old ones. Some of them are just, like I said, you'd be really surprised how people function in some of these PC setups, but they are on there. Moving on, this week we also each week we try to showcase a case mod, and we actually have a really cool one that I saw and I was like, wow, like this guy built this thing from nothing. How do you say that?
Definitely is.
Lorentum? Is that how you?
Lorementum.
Lorementum.
Kind of, he definitely made the word up, that's for sure.
No, it actually he didn't,
Oh
because he
no,
said
oh, Latin
it's
for
Latin
frames
for
or
frame,
thong?
strap, or
Oh.
thong.
Oh.
But what it is so Case Mod Friday is a section we have on the site where each Friday we highlight a case mod that's been finished in the case mod community. Obviously, Derek, you're big into that, and I'm always big into that. I love
Yeah.
seeing people be really creative building case mods, or even taking a normal case and, of course, modding it and doing custom cooling and all of that stuff. So what, who's the builder's name is Mackie Roll. And what he did was he built a custom frame. I want to, what do you want to call it? I guess you would call it a frame that
It's
can.
almost a, it's like a movable wall PC is almost what it is.
Yeah. So he
It's like a
basically,
mobile wall
yeah,
PC.
he, so he made this frame, I guess, where he has all of his components laid out. But the thing that really blew my mind about the frame is that the water cooling is built into the frame, as like the reservoir is actually part of the frame.
Right. He essentially cut out chambers in the acrylic and then sealed it, and that is his reservoir and also the channel that runs it over to the part of the radiator.
Yeah, it's actually pretty
Definitely
cool.
some serious custom work here.
Yeah, and I really like it. All of the water cooling on it was done by EK, who pretty much the go-to guys. I mean, you would say they're them and I guess what Bits Power are like the two most popular.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, for car, for blocks and stuff, EK like all the way, and then for fittings, yeah, BP is in there,
Yeah.
coolants. But yeah, EK is definitely probably the single most popular on the market. So whatever they're doing it right, that's for sure.
Yeah, so he has all. So he has like this wall mounted. Imagine like, I guess if I'm gonna try to explain this, imagine a frame, say like that you would put a poster in or something like that, a large frame. He has all of his components sitting on top of that, so you can actually view all of the components. He has a mini ITX motherboard, power supply, R9 290, and an SSD all sitting there. So it's basically like he's displayed all these things, but it's a working PC. Go to the site and check it out. It's some really awesome custom work. Again, it's really surprising how, like I said, Derek's really big into the modding scene. He's done a couple builds himself, and just the quality that and the time these guys take to do this, it's really good. And I think case modding is really good for just the community as a whole.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
It
It
just
I
it.
mean it's actually case modding has even caused some, or started some companies. I mean, you look
Yeah.
at Fantex, they're a direct link from case modding essentially.
Yeah, and it's just a it's a great thing for the community, and these are more or less like art pieces. I mean, these guys who do these things, it's like they're artists. I mean, it's really great. And this, like I said, this one really impressed me. I wish I could have that sitting on my desk.
Yeah, it's gorgeous, that's for sure.
But yeah,
Yeah,
go ahead.
it's almost too pretty to be a PC even. It's just
Yeah, I
like
mean,
perfect.
it's really great. So make sure you go ahead and check that out. That's on our Case Mod Friday section on the site. So go ahead and take a look at that. Now we're gonna go into news for the week. I know that's what you guys really want to talk about. So our first thing of business for this week, actually has to do a lot with case modding and water cooling and all that. We had our
Absolutely.
final update to the frozen CPU situation, which happened, what, it started what, 2.5 weeks ago.
It sounds about right.
Yeah, right around 2.5 weeks ago, somebody posted on overclock.net that frozen CPU was shutting down. I don't want to get into that specifics because we're not going to typically bash somebody. But basically, the owner of frozen CPU, things happened and there was disgruntled workers and all of this stuff, and one of the workers went on overclock.net and showed pictures of kind of what happened. You guys can go and check that out and kind of see what happened. But the reason that we talk about this, the reason that this is such a big deal to a lot of people in the community, is that Frozen CPU One had pretty much the largest selection of water cooling and PC mod supplies in the U.S.
Yeah, hands down, honestly.
And a lot of people liked their customer service. There was other companies that do the same thing, but they weren't as good. A lot of people said, again,
Yeah.
Derek, you would know more about this than me.
I've had tons of personal experience. I mean, Frozen CPU was definitely my go-to site. And it, when I'd even have issues, bad parts and stuff, never had a problem. I had parts sent out to me before I even sent parts back. I mean, these guys were awesome. It's for the whole community, it's disappointing to see, and really we're all just hoping that they can get it back together and get back to where they were.
Now, here's the question. Knowing what happened, again, everybody who's listening to this, you can go on check out our articles and check out the thread on overclock.net. Knowing what happened, if they open back up, say in a month, a couple months or whatever, would you order from them again?
Definitely not right away.
Yeah.
I would say I would get, honestly probably give them a year personally before I'm like, well, because I don't want my stuff getting hung up. I don't know what else is going to happen. I want to see some stability first, personally.
Yeah, the biggest thing about what happened that kind of was not upsetting, but say, I mean, I run Think Computers, like I run a business, and if anything was going on where orders aren't being fulfilled and there's all, and especially overclock.net is one of the biggest forums for PC enthusiasts, I would say, right?
Yeah,
And there's a
it's not the
there
it's
was a
not the
post
yeah.
on there, there's a post on Hardform. I don't know if there was a post on Antec, but those are like the big forums in the
Right.
community. And if there's a post saying that we're shutting down and all of this stuff, as a business owner, one, I would respond to that
Right.
myself. Two is that there was nothing on the site, so people were still putting in orders while all this was going on, and then those orders eventually had to be canceled. And it took the owner of Frozen CPU almost what, 2 weeks or a week
Yeah,
to put anything up on the site.
2 weeks, I think.
And actually, the e-commerce provider for Frozen CPU actually shut down ordering before he did. So it's just like, it makes you wonder kind of what's going on in his head and how much he really cares about the business and blah, blah, blah. So yeah, I would be on the same page as you as far as like for a while until they really reestablished that they actually
At
care.
Scion, we were
You
driven
know,
to create a new.
they.
I'd like to see some new leadership, if not even the company sold to somebody else,
Yeah, a
and
lot
then I
of
would be a lot more willing to do that, honestly, to order
people
from them again.
were talking about that, they were talking about if they could how much it would cost to buy Frozen CPU or somebody wanted to step in or something like that, but I think that's few and far between that's really going to happen. I think that Frozen CPU might come back, and I think for them to come back strong, they're going to need a real vision of kind of what they need to do and how to regain the trust of the
Yeah,
community.
yeah.
And
They're gonna need
actually,
like a real heart to heart with the community
yeah, like
from the owner.
what do they call those? Like a town hall meeting type
Yeah,
thing,
yeah.
I think that would really help them kind of go past what kind of transpired really.
Exactly.
And all of that. So, moving on from that, we have another big thing that happened this week. A class action lawsuit was filed against Nvidia for their GTX 970 memory issue. So, the GTX 970 memory issue has been going on for a good bit with Nvidia.
Yep, just a little while.
Basically, I don't want to get too technical. But basically, so when the GTX 970 came out, it was marketed as a 4 GB card, so you have 4 GB of VRAM on there. And technically, it's really not 4 GB of VRAM. You have
Not really,
3.5
no.
gigabytes, and then the extra 500 megabytes are used for something else. I wish I knew the real specifics. I actually wrote about it, but it's really hard to explain without really looking at it. But basically, when you go to use up the 3.5 gigabytes, the last 500 megabytes are extremely slow. It's been tested. This came out, I don't know, last month, I believe. And
Yeah.
it's something that a lot of people were upset about because they thought they were lied to by Nvidia. I think a lot of times when it comes to things like this too, people are upset because it doesn't have the performance that they thought it would have, but I don't, to me, this doesn't
This
seem.
isn't so much. Yeah, it's not so much like the performance that it has now. It's more people concerned with the future and running higher resolutions and harder games, because you're not going to have the same longevity, because you actually don't have 4 gigabytes to play with. The extra 500 really is, it's pretty much worthless.
Yeah, so they kind of just not this. I wouldn't say they lied, because it technically. I mean, there's 3.5
Yeah.
gigabytes, and then the 500 megabyte spillover, and the
It's
ROP.
there.
Yeah, like the ROP count was not 64; it's actually 56. You know,
And
but this.
one of the caches is smaller too.
Yeah, the cache is smaller. It's not 2 megabytes; it's actually 1.75. I mean. I think that now here's the question. Do you think Nvidia truly knew this and were like, screw it, we're going to call it a 4 gig card anyways, nobody's going to find out?
I think that I doubt that they had that conversation exactly. They were probably just like, "Oh, it's got 4 gigabytes. We'll just sell it as that." It has to do with the fact that the chip that they're using isn't. It would be a 980 chip, but it didn't bin as well, or it's got an issue, so they had to cut part of the core off, and then they can't. They actually physically can't have the memory sections together, so it had to be split. And
Yeah.
I'm wondering if they were just trying to make the best of a bad situation. And then,
Yeah.
but yeah, it's just the communication and how it was presented. I mean, it's sold as a 4 gig card, so you should be able to
Yeah.
use it.
I think the big thing too is when you get into situations like this, people just want something for free or whatever.
Yeah.
You know,
Yeah.
that's a big thing too. I think I still believe at the price point, it's the best performing card at that price point, right?
Right. And I think that's for now though.
Oh
That's the
yeah.
catch.
Yeah.
Like as far as the 4 gigabytes, I mean, at this point in time, it's a great card still, but is it gonna be great when the next game comes out that goes over that 3.5, you know?
Yeah. Now, do you think that Nvidia is going to pay this out?
I think that they'll settle it. Yeah.
Because
I mean,
it was
it's just
interesting.
bad PR.
It was interesting because this came out over the past weekend, and then CEO of Nvidia posted kind of what happened. He him
Yeah.
himself posted a response to the whole thing, and he hadn't said anything about it really. And as soon as this class action, so do you think they're kind of that was? Do you think his response was because of the lawsuit?
I do.
You know.
I think he was trying to gain gain some face on it, and I mean, I don't see how they can actually fight it though. You don't fight your customers, you know?
Yeah,
I
I
think
think
they just
they'll.
settle. I think they're just going to settle it and pay out.
Yeah, Nvidia has enough money to do that as well.
Yeah.
But again, this has been a thing that's been going on for almost, I would say, a month now since it's been discovered. It's a big thing. Again, you know, you don't want to feel that you've been slighted by a company that, for a lot of people, you know, they're Nvidia fanboys. They love Nvidia, and you don't want to have that thought in the back of your mind that, okay, you know, are they going to do us right this time? Are they going to do us wrong?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So would you still buy one, Bob?
I mean, if it's a choice between Nvidia or AMD, right now I would choose Nvidia.
Okay. You'd buy a 970 then?
Why buy a 980 if I was buying one?
Okay. So you would avoid that bad memory.
Not specifically. For me, I game in 1080p. It's not gonna
So
make a,
definitely not an issue.
yeah, it's not an issue for me. And a lot of people I've talked to, it's not an issue for them because they game in 1080p. I mean, so many people haven't really gone up to the 4K, and you know, I mean, we're both tech guys, and we're heavily into tech and gaming. I mean, and all of that, you know, and we're not gaming at 4K either. And I don't think unless you have a ton of money, you're really not gaming at 4K. It doesn't seem. I don't think that I.
I feel like we might be close to the community moving towards that, though.
Yeah, I think by by CES next year, you know, that would be in January, I think a lot of
Yeah.
people will have upgraded to 4K. The cost of the screens will be down. They're pretty down now, but I think they'll be at, you know, where, say, 1080p screens were last year. You know, this upcoming January, 4K screens will be down to the price where it's affordable. And then again, you'd have to match it with a graphics card that can game that high, and of course you want the high
Right.
settings too. And by that time, you know, we'll have AMD's new cards, and by that time too, you know, it's gonna be holiday season, so we'll have a new card from NVIDIA and a new architecture, hopefully, and all of that.
Right. Right. So they're probably just hoping to move past this card and get to the next thing, really.
Yeah, I think it will blow over. I think they're doing what they can to kind of keep it to not a massive thing, but of course the class action suit is going to, you know, it's kind of a big
Little
thing.
bit of a big deal.
Yeah. So yeah, that's what's going on with NVIDIA.
Right.
Yeah. So the next item of news has to do with another big company, Intel. According to reports, their 14-nanometer Skylake desktop CPU launch has been delayed.
Which is depressing to me personally.
Yeah, so typically the cycle with Intel is they launch their, I don't know, I can't think of it off the top of my head. What do you want to go? It's not their high-end desktop, but it's their mainstream
It's
desktop
a game.
process.
Yeah, they're high-end gaming, I would say.
Well, I don't know if I call it high-end gaming because that's their Haswell E. Or, you know,
But I
that's
wouldn't
their
really.
stream.
I get enthusiast gaming then, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's their mainstream, I would say. Their mainstream line of
Yeah.
processors are launched usually around Computex time, which is in June. But it looks like Skylake has been pushed back to August, according to this report. And that includes the 10 series chipset. So, you know, with this current version we saw Z97, H97, and then we'll see the 10 series chipset. So when this architecture launches, we'll see a whole new slew of motherboards and, of course, new features on those motherboards. Just like with this current iteration, we saw SATA Express, M.2 slots, things like that. We'll see even more things come on the 10 series. But of course, we're going to have to wait, and that's going to make Computex pretty interesting because if Intel is NDAing all of these new features and all of that stuff, we're not sure what motherboard companies are going to show at Computex, because that's the big motherboard show. That's where, you know, we see all the new motherboards that are coming out or are being launched with the new processor. So it'd be kind of interesting to see how that show goes if in fact Intel is delaying back to August.
Yeah, it's kind of disappointing for Computex to see that more than anything. I mean,
Yeah, because
it
that's a
could.
cool show. We don't actually go to Computex, but we obviously cover the news that's coming out of it, and it's just all motherboard stuff. It's so great. Like, if you're really into motherboards, that's a show you want to check the news on, because it's just every motherboard. I mean, every motherboard manufacturer has all of their, you know, all of their
All the new stuff.
motherboards. Yeah, everything is at that show, and it's so great. So it would be interesting now. We could possibly see the CPU not launched, but Intel giving the go ahead for motherboard manufacturers to go ahead and show motherboards.
That's true,
You
'cause we've seen
know,
that in the past.
yeah. So it will be interesting. You know, it just we'll just have to see how everything goes and see what Intel does. A lot of people saying that it's just because too that you know, the current inventory of Intel chips just hasn't been expired yet. You know, they have a lot of stuff and
I
they're
feel
just.
like, yeah, I feel like between Ivy Bridge and now, we haven't needed a new chip necessarily, performance-wise, and it didn't really bring anything in the 4000 series. It hasn't really brought a whole lot of more performance
Yeah.
necessarily, so it probably hasn't sold nearly as well as they'd hoped.
Yeah. It was a lot of people are saying it's either that or they're tweaking the new production of the chip, because it is the 14 nanometer. But
Right.
like again, we don't know. We'll just have to see as the year goes on how things go. And I'm sure as it gets closer to that time, as it gets closer to Computex, we of course will know more on what's going on with that. So moving on to our next story is a story that you covered, which was actually pretty interesting. You titled the article What did you title it? Never Worry About Your Phone Dying Again. And why don't you talk a little bit about what's going on with that?
All right, basically what we're looking at here is a new battery technology, energy storage technology, really. This isn't a brand new item. It's been out for, I would say, the first news article came out about a year ago. But the company is StoreDot, and they've developed the technology to the point now where they're ready to talk with phone manufacturers. And essentially, what you've got is a new type of phone battery that charges in a minute, which is pretty incredible considering it takes you, what, 2 hours to charge your phone to full at this point.
Yeah, the biggest, we had a couple comments on the article. What would the heat, did they talk about the heat output that that would cause?
No, but it's what's interesting is as when you read through the interviews is that they do mention making it. They don't mention that it's unsafe at any point, and then at the very end they mention we have to work with manufacturers to make the technology safe.
Okay,
And so
okay.
it clearly points out that I mean what it can charge up with upwards or up to 80 amps of current. I mean that's an incredible amount of amperage, honestly.
Yeah.
That's like kill a person kind of amperage.
To
So,
charge your phone, you like electrocute yourself.
yeah, like kill an elephant.
Yeah.
So, I am positive this is going to come out because honestly, mobile technology is just waiting for a better battery medium. It's really what's holding back all kinds of possibilities at this point. And so I'm sure this will go forward, but they'll do a lot of work on ensuring that it's safe for us as a consumer.
Yeah, well, of course. I mean, that would be kind of bad PR if like your product killed somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think it's
I mean,
actually pretty
we've seen the
cool.
Apple phones. What was it, the Apple phones that were burning up?
I mean, there's been a lot of
The
different
batteries were
phones
exploding,
that's
and
happened with
yeah.
Apple, Samsung. I think that's like really rare
Okay.
cases when when those things
Right.
happen, but
But all you need is the one.
yeah, and especially for a company like this that's not, I mean, I don't know how big StoreDot is. But I would,
They're
they're
not.
not
It's a
on this,
startup.
yeah, they're not on the same level as Apple or Samsung or something like that, where they can survive a PR nightmare like that.
No, and even if they'll be working with directly with a manufacturer like Samsung or Apple, but they'll get abandoned in an instant if something starts happening with the batteries.
Do you think that, say, Samsung or Apple will buy this company out, and take the technology themselves?
It's possible, but I think if you were StoreDot, you would refuse a deal because eventually you're going to be selling to everyone.
Yeah.
So why limit yourself to just the one deal, you know?
Yeah. But what if the deal's massive? Like, I mean, you know.
I don't know. I guess that it's possible. I would
Yeah.
hate to see it personally because I want to see it, I want to see
Yeah.
a technology like this spread throughout the whole spectrum. So.
Yeah, it's like I said, it was very cool when I actually saw that you were writing this article because I had never heard about this. And again, being able to charge your mobile device that fast is just awesome.
Yeah.
I usually when I go out, if I'm going out for the night or I go to a lot of concerts and stuff, I bring two portable battery chargers with me for my iPhone.
Right.
so yeah, you know, being able to.
I wonder what we'll see as far as portable battery chargers for this.
Yeah, that would be interesting to see how they implement that. Yeah.
Because you're not always, I mean, sure, it's a minute charge, but if you flat out don't have an outlet,
Yeah.
it's still no good to you. So I
Yeah.
wonder, it'll be interesting to see what comes from this, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's a very interesting thing. And I hopefully maybe we'll see something at CES you know, all the way in January or maybe even at Computex or something like that. And it would be safe to assume there's other companies doing the same thing, I would think.
I'm not sure because they actually discovered this. It's a crystal technically. Well, they were
Okay.
doing Alzheimer's research, so it's
Oh,
possible that
interesting.
they have a patent on this. So it's hard to say.
Okay. Well, again, it's very interesting. You guys can check that article out on the site. Moving on, another piece of information that came out this week is that John Petty Research, which is a research firm, said in Q3 of 2014, Nvidia secured 76% of the GPU market share, leaving AMD with just 24%. Does that surprise you at all?
It surprises me slightly because I actually felt that AMD had some strong GPUs and some decent sales. It seemed like they were gaining some traction, to be honest, in the beginning of 2013 or 2014. But certainly I envy. Yeah, go ahead.
this is from Q3.
Oh, just
This is from
right.
So I think they went from 76 to 74, or I mean from like say like Q2 of 2014, I think it was at like 74%, and now they went up to 76 or something along those lines. They gained,
Right.
Nvidia gained a couple percent on them, but
So I guess just looking at that quarter, that doesn't surprise me because obviously the 9 series is out and AMD hasn't released their new cards yet. So I guess not really.
do you ever think that AMD will make it a 50-50 market share?
It just seems so unlikely. They keep getting like huge traction with their cards, and like everybody's like, oh, it's the next big thing, here it comes. And then the next thing you know, everybody's back on the AMD train or the NVIDIA train. So
Yeah, it
just doesn't seem like it.
do you think that AMD has the right vision as far as their GPUs go? I mean, it just seemed like the 290 series, not that it was bad, but it ran so hot and it was so loud, like
They've always been so hot and so loud, yeah. I
yeah.
think it's a matter of they're not developing their cards as far as Nvidia, so they're always dealing with it's slightly not optimized, right?
Yeah.
So then you get these hot and loud cards, and which is a turn off. But no, I just don't think they'll ever quite get there.
Okay. Yeah,
I
I
mean, we can
mean,
hope. Competition is the best thing for
yeah,
us,
I would
so
love to
I can hope,
see
but it just doesn't seem like
I
it.
would love to see more innovation from AMD as far as their cards go. And it seems now that every new iteration, every new series, we're only getting one set of card, like one card, one or two cards that are actually a new processor, a new GPU. Everything else is just rebranded.
Yeah, and I think that takes away from your image strongly.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen that with both Nvidia and AMD. It's not just an AMD thing, but it's been
Yeah.
reported that AMD's their new chips that's coming out, the 300 series. There's only going to be one new GPU. Everything else is going to be a rebrand. So that's kind of upsetting for a lot of people who are looking for AMD to maybe take a lead or, gain some traction. You're only going to have one or two cards that are going to be a new architecture, a new GPU. Everything else is going to be the same.
Yeah.
So, say the mid-range card is just going to be a rebrand of the R9 290X.
Which it seems like they should actually target that segment and just abandon the high end almost. Like just go straight for the 'cause the people look at AMD as the more affordable card already. Why not just go for that?
Yeah, but do you think like the somebody at AMD is like, hey, let's just abandon that. We're not going to compete against Nvidia. That as somebody say like high up at AMD, they're going to be like, oh, we're just going to give up trying to compete. Like that doesn't sound like something they do. I mean, you'd
No,
wish
but
they would do it, but yeah, it doesn't sound like something they would do. It would be great if AMD said, screw the high end. Let's focus on the more mainstream middle ground and make the best card possible, as not only as far as performance, but efficiency, features, all of that stuff in the middle ground. If they focused on one card, but they're not gonna,
yeah.
I just don't see them ever doing that.
Like if they targeted like the 970 range
Yeah.
and just said, this is what we're going to go for. We're going to be in the more affordable price bracket, and we're just going to make the best card on the market. I could see that. I see that working for them, and really pumping some money into the company that is needed, but you're absolutely right. They're not going to do that.
Yeah. So, but talking about AMD or talking about Nvidia, they actually are going to have an event next week to reveal a new gaming platform, which a lot of people are saying it's just a new iteration of Shield, which it could be. It's supposed to be revolutionary, according to
Yeah.
the page. What do you think it's going to be?
Oh, what was the there was a wasn't there Yeah, there was source code in the page, redefine the future of
Yeah,
gaming.
redefine the future of gaming.
A revolutionary new gaming platform. I'm with
Yeah.
you and what you wrote that it's going to be an Android console.
Especially because it says 5 years in the making. Like,
Yeah,
it's not
and
going to
just
be a
from
new.
CES,
Yeah, go
from
ahead.
being at CES, that's like the thing, you know, right now is the Android console.
Yeah, I think that it's not going to be. Here's the two things I think it's going to be. One, it's not going to be a new. They're not going to launch a new GPU or anything like that because 5 years
No.
in the making, that doesn't make sense, right?
No.
Yeah. So my big thing is it's going to be an Android console, just because that's huge right now. And the thing is, it's going to be, in my opinion, it's going to be powered by NVIDIA's Tegra X1 SoC, which is the most powerful SoC out there, really. And if they did that, they would pretty much be uncontested as far as performance goes. I mean, that SoC can run Unreal Engine and CryEngine, both. So
Wow.
you could have some pretty high-end games be run on that. And of course, with NVIDIA, you know, you could have the possibility, like Shield, to stream PC games to it. You don't know what they're working on.
Yeah, certainly.
Yeah, so that could be a big thing. I think that's what it's going to be. I think that it's going to be some type of console device that not only can play Android games and things like that, but at the same time you can stream PC games to it, much like Shield. I don't think it's going to be a new Shield. Those things don't sell well at all.
No, I can't see them putting that much money into that.
Yeah, I mean they could just because. I mean they did it.
Because they do
Oh.
that sort of thing.
What was it? 2 years ago at CES, they had this big thing for Shield, and nobody cared.
Yeah.
And people that I know who have Shield have got them for free at events. So,
And
it's not
that's
some.
it.
Yeah. So I think, but I think moving it from that mobile device into a console type device where I think that would be the big thing. Or it's gonna be a new Shield to something. It's gonna, those are the two
It could be
things.
just they could do it. They could do an Android console that's an extension of Shield in a
Yeah,
way
that's what I think it's
to
going to
try to
be.
build the popularity of Shield at the same time, really seeing something that might actually make money.
Yeah, so I think that's what it's going to be. But of course, the event is supposed to happen on March 3rd. So we will obviously be covering it and letting you guys know what happens as far as that all goes. Again, I'm just thinking it's going to be a console. We saw Razer have their what was it, their streaming thing,
Yep,
at CES. So,
and Snail has one coming out, that new
yeah,
company Snail.
there's a lot of different as far as PC streaming and we just reviewed the Doko from NZXT, which allows you to stream to your TV as well. So I think the streaming as far as like streaming PC games to your TV is a big thing, and I think that this is gonna have. Go ahead.
You think it could just simply be a stream box?
It possibly could. I think they're gonna have the Android gaming element built into it as well, because that's how Shield is done.
Right.
So I think it's gonna be much like that. They're gonna use the same type of technology they have in the Shield in this product, whatever it may be.
Okay.
Yeah. And
Sounds
talking,
good. Looking forward to the third.
talking about events, we have another event which I'm sure a lot of you don't care about. But we do have Apple sent out invites for their March 9th Spring Forward media event. And many people think that this is where we're going to see the launch or announcement of the launch of the Apple Watch or iWatch or whatever it's going to be called.
Right.
Apple Watch, would you get one? Well, I guess not,
I
'cause
would
you're.
have to, I'd have to own another Apple device in the first
Yeah.
place.
Okay, here's this. How are you on wearable tech? Would you get a smartwatch?
I don't own any of them that are out right now because they don't appeal to me
Yeah.
currently. As a more polished tech, absolutely.
Yeah. See,
How
I'm
about
an
you?
iPhone guy.
Right.
I'm a fan of the iPhone. I wouldn't get it because
No.
I use my phone to make calls, Instagram, Snapchat, things like that. I don't feel as a device, and this is a pretty expensive device. I'm not sure how it's going to be. I think it's like $399 or something like that.
Oh, wow.
For an extra $400, I'd rather buy a new graphics card, right? I mean,
Yeah.
it's not something that appeals to me in that way. I don't need a, I have a regular watch. I don't need something that's going to connect to my phone per se. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not,
Yeah.
if I get a text message, I'm going to pull out my phone. I
That's
don't,
kind of what I was think have been thinking too.
yeah, like, it's not something that I want to, like, it just doesn't make, for me, it just doesn't make sense. The price doesn't make sense for, if it's a $100 device, yeah, maybe, right? But
Yeah.
for what it does, and the thing is, it's a crappier experience of your mobile device, more or less. I mean, that's how all of the
Yeah.
Android ones are, Android Wear, and all of that. It's cool. It's something cool to have, right? But
Yeah.
it's a crappier experience of your mobile device, and I don't need that. You know what I mean? I mean, in my opinion,
Yeah.
that's really what it is. It's cool to have if you're really big into tech and you want the latest thing. It's going to be something to have. And of course, it's Apple, so all the fanboys and everything are going to be all over it. But it's
It's
one,
gonna sell like crazy for
yeah,
sure.
it's not going to make me more productive, I don't feel. It takes
Yeah,
me
is the for
from,
me it's yeah, it's a second to get your phone out. Like,
yeah, it doesn't take me that long to take my phone out and check a text message or whatever it may be. So I don't need it on my wrist really. And everything else that it's gonna do, I don't know. Again, I haven't really looked into it because we don't cover Apple things that much. But I mean, I'm sure it's gonna track your steps or whatever. I mean, and you can do that on your phone, I believe now too. Anyways,
there's nothing that it'll do that your phone won't do, that's for sure.
yeah. So, we'll see. I'd like to see it in person. I'll go to the Apple store and check it out. But it's not something that I would buy. But also, there's a rumor possibility to announce a 12-inch Retina MacBook Air. And this one will be fanless, completely fanless, built on new Intel Broadwell, I believe. And the one thing that's cool about it is it will have the USB Type-C connector. I'm not sure if you saw that at CES. A lot of companies were showing that.
I did.
It's Go ahead.
I did. It's very cool.
Yeah, so the USB Type-C connector is a pretty, it's completely reversible, so you can use both connectors are the exactly the same. One, it's faster. Two, one, it looks nicer and smaller too. Just new USB technology, that'd be cool. And if the Mac has it, that means that the adoption of USB Type-C will go up exponentially.
Yeah. And
Yeah.
it's not a proprietary connection for them, so it might work out for them.
Yeah, that's another good thing, because we always see that with Apple having proprietary connectors, Lightning connector, all of that. So that is a good thing. But it'd be, the MacBook Air hasn't been updated all that much, and there's been a lot of companies that have come out with smaller and thinner Ultrabooks to really compete with MacBook Air. So it'd be nice to see a MacBook Air come out that can kind of bring it back to say this is the thinnest, lightest, best perf not necessarily best performing, but thinnest and lightest, and that's what a lot of people are looking for. When I first saw the MacBook Air, the first time I saw it, I was like, holy shit, this thing is small and it's awesome because it's like carrying a note like a real notebook around, not necessarily a PC. And at that time, this is before the whole Ultrabook craze and all of that,
Yep.
So it'd be interesting to see how that helps Apple out. Of course, people are going to buy it because it's Apple, but again, you just like to see that innovation and making things smaller. And of course, MacBook Air is their real product that really brought, I think, a lot of people over to Mac as far as people who just need a piece, they don't need a high performance notebook. They just need something to word process and some a little bit of productivity, internet, Facebook,
Yeah.
email, all of that stuff. And everybody that I know that has one loves it, just for the size and everything like that. And with it being Broadwell too, you're going to have awesome battery life. And again, you don't need any fans, so it's going to make no noise really. So pretty cool.
Which is pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah, so that basically covers our news for the week. Not a whole lot of news. Again, a lot of stuff going on as far as like Nvidia and everything like that. Coming up next week, we have some reviews that we know we're gonna have done, or hopefully we'll have done next week. I actually got a pretty cool product in called Spot Cam, and it is a Wi-Fi camera, video camera. It's mainly used for security purposes. If you want to put it in your house or things like that. But
Yeah.
what's really cool about it, I believe it's $149, so it's not that expensive. And it's extremely easy to set up. I actually have it set up now. And the way it works is it sets up its own access point. You connect to the access point when you log into the camera, more or less, and then
Oh, cool.
you connect it to your Wi-Fi, and then you switch it to from AP mode to client mode, and then it just connects to your Wi-Fi, and it constantly you can log in from, say, you there's apps for Android and iPhone and all of that, so you can check in real time your the camera. So like if I'm away, I'm on vacation, or I'm just out of the house, I'm like, oh, what's going on at home? You can go ahead and you can log in from your phone and see what's going on. 720p camera records audio as well. Now, the only issue that I've seen with it so far is that you can't necessarily record, right? You can only
Oh, okay.
Okay, so the camera's 149, blah blah, and that gives you access to view at any time with any device,
Okay.
But if you want to record, they have a DVR service. It's a cloud-based service. It's a monthly cost. I'm not exactly sure what the cost is. But that's the only
Gotcha.
caveat of it. But for people who maybe want to set up home monitoring, for say they have a babysitter and they want to be able to check in at certain times and things like that, it's extremely easy to set up for non-techie people. It's something that is extremely easy to set up. It's not going
Yeah,
to
and it's
take.
$150 for peace of mind. I mean, that's not bad.
Yeah, I mean, for a lot of people, it's something that like again, the two things is one, it's the cost. It's a low cost product. A lot of Wi-Fi cameras that we see that you could say, like I used to have a Wi-Fi camera that I could actually connect to my NAS, and I think
Okay.
that camera was 249 or it might have been 300. And I could record directly to my NAS, and this doesn't have that ability, but it's so much easier to set up. It's basically like one step install. You just install this program that finds the camera's Wi-Fi, and then connects you to it, and then you just pick your Wi-Fi network of your home network, set it up, and boom, you're good to go. And then of course you can download the apps on Android, iPhone. I'm not sure if it's Windows Phone as well, but you can, most people have Android or iPhone, and you can just log in. So to give
Yep,
people
looks like it's
peace of
both.
yeah, to give people peace of mind and everything like that, like I said, it's pretty cool. I should be finished with the review over this weekend and have it up on the site next week. So guys, stay tuned for that. We also have our resident case guy, Derek. He's checking out the Corsair Carbide Series 100R mid tower. This is we saw this at I saw this at CES. This is Corsair's entry into like the $50 range as far as case. So a very entry level case, still trying to give you the features that, of course, Corsair, their cases are some of the best. So a $50 case, you're gonna get what you pay for, it seems. But it is a Corsair product, so it'd be interesting to see how well he likes it and all of that. Yeah, I mean, it looks like it's pretty much, it's gonna have all
Looks
the
like a
fe
decent case for 50
yeah, for
bucks. I mean,
$50 entry level, you're not looking to spend a lot of on a case. And again, with a lot of these companies that we know for high-end cases making the cheaper cases, it's not necessarily a cheap case. It's just it doesn't have all the features that say a high-end
yeah.
case would, but it has all of the features as far as it's going to be easy to build in. It has all the room for certain, for your hard drives and all that stuff. It
Looks
ha
like it's got plenty of pass-throughs. You have plenty of hard drive storage space.
Yeah,
Your
it's, you know.
couple of bays up top.
Yeah, you're not gonna get.
Looks like a decent case.
Yeah, you're not gonna get everything per se, you know, that you would get in a high-end case. But for $50, you should be able to get a pretty good case. And there's a lot of companies actually. Silverstone has their PS11, which is pretty much the same type of case, which we'll actually get into review next week. It's the same thing. It's a $50 case. A lot of people don't want to spend a lot of money on a case, so this is why these companies are doing this. So stay tuned for that next week. And I also will be checking out a cool product from Noctua. This is one of their air CPU coolers. It is the NH-D9L. And Noctua has come out with a couple coolers that are made for smaller systems. So typically with Noctua, we know them for their very big, massive CPU coolers.
Very big.
Yeah, they're known for their air coolers. They're huge. They have awesome performance for an air cooler, but a lot of people don't necessarily need that big of a cooler. And two, with the popularity of mini ITX systems, you don't have room for it. You know, you just don't have room for it. So
Exactly.
this cooler is made for, they say it's 100% RAM compatibility. So whatever size RAM you have, if it has larger heat sinks on it and all of that, it's going to be 100% compatible with that. It's also 100% compatible with PCI Express cards and Mini ITX. So sometimes those can get in the way on Mini ITX systems. So it's 100% compatible with that. We just reviewed one a couple weeks ago that's the same type of size. It's smaller, and it still had great performance. I tested it on X79 system, you know, and it performed great. So I'm pretty interested to see how this one performs as well. And again, for a lot of people who don't want to get into all-in-one air cooling or all-in-one water cooling and, you know, full-on water cooling in a smaller system, these are the coolers to check out. So stay tuned for that next week. And that kind of wraps up our first podcast. Anything else you'd like to add, Derek?
No, I think we've got it for this week.
Yeah, so let us
Looking forward to
know.
those articles.
Yeah, let us know, guys, what you thought of the podcast, the format, all of that. You know, this is our first time doing this, so definitely let us know if you like something, if you didn't like it, if you thought the whole thing was crap and we shouldn't do another one. Definitely let us know on the
Burn it with
site.
fire.
Yeah. Definitely let us know on the site. When this comes up, there will be a section on the site that says podcast that you can go on, and everything that we talked about in the podcast we'll have links for. You'll be able to check it all out. It will be all on one page, so you can see everything. And definitely let us know. And until next time, as I always say, catch you guys later.